Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. It is November. What blows my mind is that Christmas is almost 2 months away and the year is almost over. You guys, we're almost out of 2020. This year has been really hard, but also a lot of good things have come out of it too. I can't believe that the year's almost done. I'm just blown away. I remember starting this year and being so excited for all the things that 2020 would hold and then not expecting all the things that came with it. So yeah, what a year, you guys, and we're almost out of it. Two more months to go. Hang in there. I hope you guys are all doing well with all the COVID things and that now that it's November, there's times to spend with our family. Some of you may not be. Some of you may be just getting together. So just know that I am thinking of all of you who listen and so much appreciate that you guys are a part of the Brave family and the Brave podcast. I couldn't do this without you. All right. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys again about Dr. April Jones' retreat. She's having a retreat December 5th, hosted by the Drifted Drum Company, that allows you to kind of find your purpose, allows you to rest, and I think it would be a great thing for you to sign up for. If you are interested, go to thedrifteddrumcompany.com, click on events, and you can sign up there. And if you use Brave in the checkout, you get 10% off. And everybody loves a deal, so you should definitely jump on that. All right, my next guest, I had so much fun talking to her. In fact, and she doesn't know this, well, she'll know it now. Listening to her, I'm like, this is probably what I will be like in 10 years. Like, I just related to her so much. I felt like we were kindred spirits. And she is a creative like myself. And she talks about her one woman show. Her name is Shonda Carter, and how she got that started and how she took creativity and use it as a way to worship the Lord and kind of lead people to use creativity to worship the Lord and to serve God. It was really, really great. So without further ado, here is my interview with Shonda Carter. All right. So welcome to the Brave Podcast. I'm Alexis Newland and I am interviewing Shonda today. So Shonda, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Shonda Carter, and I am so honored to be here. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. And tell people what you do and why you're awesome.
Okay, what do I do? That's a really hard question for me. And I know this is the Brave broadcast, but it's like, you know, I hear so many times they say, a jack of all trades, a master of none. And That's really funny because it's like, I can almost do anything creatively. So I would say like my biggest strength is just being creative and being able to figure out how to do things. I am a speaker. I'm an actress. Amateur actress. I'm a singer, amateur singer. And I have a one woman show. I spell it W-O-N, a one woman show. And I do videos, and all of this came from not being able to find people that could help me. So I had to learn a lot of things. I learned a lot of things from scratch. And I've just been on this journey for a while. And I would say what makes me kind of awesome is that I don't quit for very long. I do quit. So, okay. But then I like get right back up, you know, when you fall down, you're like, I'm not doing this anymore. But then, you know, you get that strength to rise back up again. So yeah. I would say like, that's been like my biggest thing that I'm known for is just not quitting, even though people don't get to see the tantrums behind the scenes. So I just want to get that out because a lot of times people will, you know, oh, it's easy, and it's not. Fulfilling your destiny is not easy. And I want to make sure that people don't look at me and think, you know, she's so talented. It's so easy for her. No, it's not.
Wow.
So that's it.
So what got you into wanting to do a one woman show? Like, I hear that and I'm like instantly anxious because I can't imagine having that much of a spotlight on me.
Oh my gosh. This is brave. I'm going to bravely say it took about 10 years to get up the strength and the courage to do that. No one believes me, but I had horrible stage fright. My husband believes me because when I started going to church, somebody found out that I could sing, and sometimes, you know, you never believe how talented you are. You never can see the gifts that you have.
Yeah.
And someone overheard me singing some little song. They're like, you can sing. You should be up on stage. I'm like, oh my gosh, no. I'm a behind the scenes type of person. And I had a drama team at church, and I could always get other people, you know, bring out their gifts and bring out the best in them and discover all these hidden talents. And it was like all the while I was like, I was the one that needed the most work. But
yeah,
so like I said, someone heard me sing, and they, I don't know how they talked me into it. And I remember so much, my husband had on this white shirt, and I remember crying so hard, like his whole shirt was ruined. He was like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. So that was about maybe 17 years ago. Okay. And I started singing, and then I found out that it got easier and easier. I was scared for a while, but it started getting easier. I wasn't as petrified. I moved from petrified to just scared. And then I moved to not scared. Then I moved to, oh, I've got this. But it took 10 years to get to that point. And like I said, no one believes me about this stage fright or anything like that, but that's how it happened. And then I just started, it was really funny because I started, like I said, I had a drama team, and then people would like, because it was volunteer, mm-hmm. people would show up when they wanted to. And so I would have to step in and do their roles. And it's like, you know, the first time I'm telling you, I almost passed out with fright, but it was the camera and I could control it, you know, behind, I could control what was being put out. So anyway, I started filling in here and there like an extra. And then, like I said, about 10 years later, I had all of these little videos that I had done, and I love doing parodies. And I'd had all these videos that I had done over the years. I'm like, this could be an act. And like I said, it's really hard to describe. Like, it was no, you should go on stage and do a one-woman show. It was just idea after idea after idea. It's like, oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do this. So I would just say it was just one step at a time. Like, you just take the next step and you take the next step and you take the next step. And that's how the idea came, was this is like a one-woman show. Like, you are starring in all of these productions, and that's what happened.
Wow. That is amazing how that happened. And I love that you said that you had stage fright and you went ahead and have done all this anyway. Mm-hmm. What caused you to push past it? Because that's the one thing that people get stuck in, fear, and they can't seem to move past that. So what helped you?
What helped me was having very strong personality. And I say no a lot. And
okay.
Given the freedom to say no, and then, you know, going back and thinking about it, like I said, I just took baby steps. I never allowed anyone to push me past the point that I could go. And I would say, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. And people would say, oh, you should make a CD. You should be a recording. I'm like, I'm not Mariah Carey. Like, we're not going to, you know, I would watch American Idol, and you know, yeah. you see those really bad singers and you're like, why didn't someone in their circle stop them?
It's terrifying. I'm like, oh my gosh, why would you let them go up there in front of the whole world? Oh no.
So I'm like, I was able to say, no, we're not going to do that. It's like, I thank you for your enthusiasm, but I know who I am, and I know who I am not. And I am not Mariah Carey. I am not going to go pursue a, you know, it's like, I do enough singing to get by off of what I am purposed for. And I've always had a really strong sense of purpose. Even though I didn't know all the gifts that I had, it was like I said, I knew who I was, I knew who I was not. And I was able to just take baby steps. And then sometimes, you know, you hear those lies in your head and you say, and you think, I can't do this. And it's like, well, maybe you can't do this, but you can do that. You know, find something you can do and just take a little step. I have 4 children, and I would always think about if they would have given up learning how to walk every time they fell down.
Yeah.
And I would feel ridiculous every time I would fall down and say, I'm not doing this again. I would always have that little vision in my head. So that's what helped me get through it. And it took a long time. And that's another thing. People want to rush.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to rush. I was one of those people. But, you know, it was not to be rushed, apparently. So there you go.
And so I read a little bit about you. You do a little bit of coaching as well, mm-hmm. and mentoring. What mm-hmm. got you into that?
Because I always said I did not know anything about the coaching business when it first started out. I didn't know that coaches existed. And I always wanted to be the person that I needed 10 years ago. That's what made me get into coaching, because there were so many coaches that I had that were not a fit. and they were trying to make me into something I was not. And I wanted to stay genuine and help people, you know, to be who they're supposed to be, not who a coach says they're supposed to be. Like I said, I've always had a very strong sense of purpose. And I knew that my gifts could help someone else. And yeah. It's like, you know, that's what you need to use your gifts for. Because they weren't working out very good for me, sitting around going, you know. So when I started helping other people and, you know, getting the response, it really just kind of motivated me to do even more. Like I said, I just wanted to be the person that I needed 10 years ago. Like, oh, I would have loved to have had someone like me. Like, yes. Would it have taken me so long? You know, I can't get mad that it took me so long. But sometimes I go back and go, if I'd had me, the 10 years ago me, how far would I have gotten way back then? So,
Okay. So you talk about this like sense of purpose. What is your sense of purpose? And then for those who are looking for their sense of purpose, how can you kind of guide them in that direction? If that question makes sense.
Well, yeah, it does make sense. I actually have it's a 2-hour class.
Okay.
I'm not promoting the class or anything like that, but it's like usually because some people want, well, what's my purpose? And it takes a minute to kind of work your purpose. But I always go back to, you know, do you want to, it's like a phrase that I put together. And it's like, my purpose is, and then you fill in like, do you want to help? Do you want to influence? Mm-hmm. Do you want to, what's the other word? Inspire. And I just give people those three words. And then they get to pick which one that they like to do. And then I say, to help who? Who do you want to help? Some people, because everybody says, oh, I can help everyone. Like, no, you can't. You really can't.
Yeah.
You're assigned to, you know, I really believe in you're assigned to a certain type of person or a certain group. So I say, who do you want to help? And then I was like, what do you want to help them do? Or what do you want to influence them to do? Or what do you want to inspire them to do? And then I say, how are you going to deliver that? That's your stage, okay. STAGE. That is your skills, your talents, your abilities, your gifts, and what you always do with excellence or expertise.
So I love
you,
that.
Yeah, you stand on your stage. That's how you deliver your purpose.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's the quick guideline to my purpose class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you say it one more time? The stage piece.
The stage is STAGE. It is skills, talents, abilities, gifts, and expertise or excellence, what you always do in excellence, what you won't compromise.
That is awesome. I absolutely love that. I'm actually going to write that down and keep that for myself. And so another question for you, being in this role where you're an actress, you're singing and stuff, how do you elevate God? I know you're a woman of faith, but without elevating yourself?
That's really easy for me because I don't really like to talk about myself that much. So that part is really, really easy. With the one woman show, it's really how I tell my testimony. You know, we say you will overcome by the words of your testimony. And I'm able to do that without talking about myself. That sounds funny, but like I can go into a character. Like I did not get saved until I was like in my mid-30s, I would say. Like, say for real.
Oh, okay.
Say for real.
Okay.
And I have this character who is looking for her purpose in life. And, you know, that's really what drew me to God was, you know, a lot of people, they want to escape hell. That was not mine. I don't know why it wasn't. I just was looking for purpose. Like, there's got to be something bigger than just escaping hell, you know, as far as God goes. So it was like, I knew, you know, he created me. So I knew he's the only one that could tell me, you know, that purpose part, that purpose piece. So I really was searching for purpose and I wanted to hear his voice. I always heard about people that could hear God. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, so I had some really specific things when I was searching for God. And through the characters, I'm able to always point to God and how he brought me through it. I do various women of the Bible, like I do the Shunammite woman, how she has helped me, how Hagar, you know, some people look at Hagar and Sarah and they just want to be Sarah, but Hagar has helped me. And I bring out little scriptures about that, but it all goes to how God has helped me, helped put me on this path of purpose. And lots of parodies and lots of 80s music, because I'm a little old.
I love 80s music. It's awesome.
Lots of 80s music, lots of, you know, and it just kind of drops your guard a little bit as far as, you know, how people think about God. And it's like that, just that alone makes me just want to keep going. Like I can change the perspective a little bit because God is fun.
He is.
He's very fun. And it's like, y'all are missing out. Seriously, he's fun.
Seriously. I was just thinking about that. I just went on a like camping trip. My relationship with God has always kind of been adventure. I've always wanted to have this adventure and have it with the Lord and using adventure to conquer fear, because I've struggled with a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. That's why I made this podcast. And so, and I'm losing my train of thought, but like, God, I hate when this happens. But yeah. Oh, shoot. I just totally lost it. It'll probably come back to me. I'm so sorry.
That's fine. It's going to happen to me too. You're fine.
But oh gosh, where was it? I hate when that happens. But yeah, like God using adventure to kind of walk me through fear, because fear, it is so, so, so paralyzing. And my like sense to one of like, it was so weird to have like the sense of adventure, but be so fearful. And God's like, let me take you to these cool places. There we go. I found it again. God is fun. Okay. Let me take you to these cool places and show you that you're safe with me. And so I was recently in Yellowstone, and it was my last night there. It was stormy. I woke up in the middle of this huge thunderstorm. Like in California, we don't have thunderstorms. Like you live in Oklahoma. So like you are used to thunderstorms. And I grew up in Georgia, so I knew what they were like. And then coming here, I'm like, this is not a thunderstorm. This is just a little baby. I don't know what this is, but it's not a thunderstorm. So waking up in the middle of one, what I went through in Georgia, I was just like, oh my God, I was immediately traumatized. And I was in a tent and I'm like, oh my God, God, why am I here right now? Why? This is my biggest fear, Lord. Like what is happening? And he's like, just get out and get in the car. And so I sat in the car, trembled for a minute. And then I realized that God is the creator of all this. He's in charge of the thunderstorms, in charge of everything. So basically decided to like roll over and then like watch the storm and know that I'm safe with the Lord. And that's what he's been showing me through my whole journey, that he is fun. And then he is my protector. And that if I could just, even in my fear, just embrace it and embrace him and know that he's going to take care of me. And that's kind of really helped me in my journey as well.
Mm-hmm. When you were describing your story, you reminded me of, we went on vacation and I bungee jumped, and that was super, but it was like the Lord told me to bungee jump. And it was like, are you serious right now? And it was so, what I am a instinct type of person. Like I will jump. And it's so funny because it was like, I had control of like, whenever you're ready, you know, pull the, it's been almost 20 years ago, but it's like, he's like, pull the thingy me, Bobby. I know that does not sound good. Pull the lever, whatever. And my youngest son went with me, and it was like, it was in my control. Like you can pull this or not, you know? So the Lord was showing me like, it's in your control. Like, yeah, I asked you to do this. I had it in my hand. As soon as I pulled that lever, I knew what was going to happen, but it was up to me, the timing. It was up to me, you know, when to do it. And it was like, I was thinking, just rip the Band-Aid off, just get it over with. And I pulled it and it was like, this is great. But it was like, like you said, the fear will paralyze you. If I had stayed up there and thought about it 1 second longer than I did, I probably would have said, no, I'm going to change my mind, you know? So pulling that, and it was like, this is fantastic. So it's like, I've always done the, I'm going to pull it. And my husband thinks I'm pretty brave. And it's like, I'm glad you think that, but it's like, I do it because I know I'm going to get scared. So I pull it real fast, you know? Yeah.
I'm the same way. Like people say you're brave. And that's what I kept hearing when I was solo camping. And I'm like, if you guys knew how much fear there was actually in me right now, I am terrified. But like, I think that's what the Lord, like my big verse is Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. And in that verse, I see that like, you can still have fear, but don't let it stop you, and just to push past it and just do it anyway. And so that's kind of been my whole life with the Lord, is like, I understand you're scared. Take, like you said, baby steps.
Yeah. Just do what you can do pretty much. Yeah. Like when you start focusing on the big, sometimes you get like, it's paralyzing. Cause it's like, I can't do that. It's like, do what you can do. That's what I've learned to do. It's like, you know what? I didn't know anything about creating a one woman show. I didn't know anything about that. Like, I remember crying because I couldn't figure out how to edit video. And now it's like, I'm known as an expert for editing video. Mm-hmm. It was like, and I just remember, and it was like, where'd you go to school? I'm like, I just got on YouTube and spent hours and hours and hours learning, frustrated, you know? And it's like, you know, it's just do what you can do. I could get on YouTube and watch a video to learn how to do that. I could learn how to Photoshop, you know, just over the years, it's just so amazing what God has done just by you saying yes and then taking the next step. Yes, take the next step.
Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome. And so I want to talk a bit about you being a creative, because there's a lot of my listeners who are creatives and are trying to figure out how to use that, their creativity as a way to either share the gospel or to make a business. Can you speak a little bit into that?
Yes, I can. And you're getting me to plug stuff. Like, I don't, but I have a book that I wrote. It's called God is for Real, R-E-E-L.
Okay.
I like to play with words a lot, creative with words a lot. And it was because there were so many people that were thanking me, like, thank you for giving me the ability to use my gifts to serve the Lord. Because a lot of times in that aspect, artists are not looked at as, you know, being able to minister the gospel.
Yeah.
It's, oh, that was cute. Or why don't you go to kids' church and, you know, draw with the kids or something like that. And sometimes you miss out on the magnitude, you know, the vision of an artist. And so I wrote the book explaining how you can use your gifts, your talents, your abilities, the arts to, it was, and as a matter of fact, the subtitle is Use the Arts to Speak to the Heart. So in that book, I break it down each, like, you know, if you're a writer, of course, a writer knows how to use their gifts for God. They can write a book.
Yeah.
But an artist, like someone, a painter, and I give examples at the end of the book, at the end of each chapter, and says, like, you can paint pictures for Habitat for Humanity. You know, you don't have to spend your life, if you're a Christian artist, you don't have to spend your life recreating the Lord's Supper. Like, you can do artwork donated to, you know, Habitat for Humanity, for people to decorate their houses that can't afford nice artwork, you know, those type of practical things. I explain how, you know, dancing ministers, I explain how those type of things do. But one of the main things about being creative is being authentic to who God has called you to be. Okay. And when you're authentic to who God has called you to be, you give other people permission to be themselves. And that's why I say I'm a walking permission slip, because people see me and go, oh, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could, you know, minister like that. And I just got my master's degree in Christian spirituality and formation. And you talk about, I was with some of the most uptight Christians I've ever been. They were serious. And I'm looking like, God, you know I'm goofy. Now you know. But I've learned to be like, before I would just be quiet and not express, you know, but now I've learned to, like, you know what? No, this is how God speaks to me. He speaks to me through 80 songs. He speaks to me through movies. Like, no, I've gotten a lot out of a movie, and sometimes they're not always PG, you know, it's like, but God will speak to me through a movie. And even just given a different perspective of the Bible and what the word says than what we've been trained, teaching's good. But you have to look at how you've been trained to view and, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit, how he wants you to see that scripture, not what you've always heard. So when you do that, I just believe that you start living your purpose. You start living the way God has created you to live and your gifts that he wants unleashed to the world. That's what I think.
Okay.
And that's what I kind of help people get to the nitty gritty and do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Can you explain your master's? It's spiritual informatics. What is that?
No, I've heard of it. Sorry. It's a spiritual, Christian spirituality and formation.
Information. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's basically helping people get down to the nitty gritty on how they believe God, how they have an attachment with God. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's a lot of discipleship. It's not, you know, people... So funny, because people think I'm an expert on the Bible. It's like, no, I'm kind of an expert on the soul, as far as how the soul, you get this, you know, your spirit. And it's like how the soul kind of comes along with, like you're saying, with the bravery, with doing it anyway, with, you know, turning away from what you like to do to serve God.
Yeah.
Like when I say like some of the stuff you're not supposed to be doing that you like.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Okay.
So it's basically helping your mind, will, and your emotions kind of get on with God's plans. That's what my master's degree is really in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fascinating. I have never heard of that before. Yeah.
I didn't either until I signed up to get a master's degree. And that's why I said it's that those yeses and that I'll do it, because I remember I have, it's so funny, because I have a bachelor's in criminal justice.
Oh, okay.
And I used to be a probation officer, you know, worked in social services, all kinds of stuff like that. So I'm like, why would I go back to school? Like, I did not want to go. I didn't like the criminal justice degree that I got. I just got to the point of no return. Once again, back then I let people talk me into stuff, you know, it's like, oh, you should be an attorney. You can argue. I'm like, okay. So, well, I don't know anything about being an attorney. So I majored in criminal justice. Then my advisor put all these classes on. By the time I realized I did not like it, I was already 2 years in. It's like, well, I'm just going to have to finish. So I finished, didn't like it, didn't want to go back to school again. And so when the Lord was speaking to me about school, no. And even when I finally agreed, I was just playing around on the internet. Just like I said, just one baby step at a time and looking at, and it just kept one step. I made the appointment with the advisor and I was just going to go get another, I was going to get a bachelor's in theology because that's all I knew. You know, I didn't know there were different aspects of, you know, degrees as far as learning about God. I just want to learn more about God. And she's like, why would you get another bachelor's if you already have one? I'm like, well, my bachelor's in criminal justice, that has nothing to do with God. And she was like, it doesn't matter. So I'm like, really? And then I signed up. Stuff I didn't know. You got to be able to go in, say yes, let me play around with this. All kinds of stuff I didn't know. And it just next step. And then there you go.
You have your master's now. When did you get your master's?
May.
Oh, so you recently got it.
And also I am still I'm on my second year in seminary to be a spiritual director, which was something I discovered while I was in school. I had never heard of a spiritual director before. I had some book I had to read and I'm like, what is a spiritual director? Another thing, I had no clue. I'm 47. I was trying to remember. Never heard of, started researching. Wow, this is really neat. And then people were like, you're crazy to do seminary and get your master's at the same time. I was like, yeah, but my journey's not sane. So I looked up seminary to get a certification in spiritual direction. And now I am going to be a spiritual director. I graduate from that program in May.
Wow. So what does a spiritual director do?
Okay. So a spiritual director, this is hot off the press. This is what God has told me that I have, how I describe it, because I'm goofy.
Okay.
I am a heavenly hearing aid. Okay. That's basically, you know, I meet one-on-one. It's a ministry where you speak. People think it's counseling, but it's not. You are talking and then we have conversation with God. Because like how I said, when I first started out, I wanted to hear from God. I didn't know how people could hear from God or like God never talks to me. So we're able to, through prayer, through exercises, through discipline, through speaking together, one-on-one, intimate conversation is totally confidential. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen, I'm a professional listener and we just talk to God about that together. And I help my clients see a different perspective. I help people see where they wouldn't normally see God. Like when they're in bad times and you're just like, you know, has God left me? No, he hasn't left you. You know, it's like, let's take a look at this, you know, and then you just notice that God is still there. So, cause sometimes, you know, you get to those points where like, I mean, I've had it on my journey several times, like, God, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why did this happen? I thought you said this. Once again, being the person that I needed 10 years ago. So I'm doing that now through spiritual direction as well. And it's different than coaching. Coaching is go out, do it. You know, spiritual direction is let's talk to God about this. Like, let's hear what he has to say about this. And we do. And it's been so fabulous. Like I've been more blessed than my directees, seriously, on this journey so far.
So going back to hearing from God, how do you know when God is talking to you? Like how can someone kind of identify that?
Well, that's a very hard question. Just off the fly, I'll say it's a very serious question.
Yeah.
He confirms really what he's, you know, he confirms, like always look for confirmation. Like if you believe God has said something to you, don't go ask people. It's like, you know, God, can you give me confirmation with that? And he'll send a confirmation, like, you know, and I'm not saying that as like, that's how he's done me. It's like, he really will confirm his word. Like one day you'll say, was that God? And you know, and it's perfectly fine to not be sure. It's okay to ask him because it's like, that's what I do with spiritual direction. We ask him all the time, like, hey, did you say that? don't be scared of, you know, asking God, that, okay, I don't know if that's you or not. Can you send a confirmation? And I remember the very first time that I heard from God, you know, I didn't hear the audible voice. I heard my thoughts say, I was sitting in my bed and I saw some birds fly by and I heard, consider the birds. And immediately I went to that scripture in Matthew about, you know, consider the birds, they don't reap or sow, and I take care of them. And I just flooded with tears. So it's like, you can get like an emotional confirmation. You can get another person can come along. There was one time, and I'm just giving examples here. There was one time there was a book that came up and it said, if you were God, would you choose you? And I was like, oh my gosh, I would never read that book. He probably would never choose me. I clicked off like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to read that book. I kid you not. 2 weeks later, someone anonymously sent me that book.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. So it was really weird. And it's like, you know, I read the book and it was fabulous. Like, it was confirming all the stuff that he had told me. It's like, he really wanted to get that message to me.
Yeah.
And I was scared of that book because I was scared of, oh, I'm a, you know, God would never choose me. No. And it was confirmation that, yeah, I would choose you and I did choose you. So those are just some of the examples. I would love to, you know, I'm the type of person that's like, I don't just come in and just say stuff and then leave. It's like, you know, if you want to get deeper with that, you can contact me on email or, you know, through my website or, and then, you know, we can go into further detail because that's why I said it's a very hard question because everybody's so unique and individual. So it's like, I don't want to mess up people, you know,
I hear you. Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, God's never sent me a book. And I know lots of times like people like, oh, God paid all my bills off. I'm like, he didn't do that for me. And then I got depressed. Like, I've been asking him to pay my bills off for, you know, and it's like, that's never happened. So it's like, everyone is so unique.
Yeah.
And that's what I love spiritual direction because you get to meet one-on-one. It's not a, like, God had to tell me to take it easy on my pastor because it's like, well, that word doesn't apply to me. It's like, he's got to speak to, you know, 1,000 people, like, you know, kind of calm down and take it easy on him.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh yeah. Okay. You're right. So just another perspective, you know, it's like that word that's never come true for me. Why hasn't God done that for me? You need another perspective.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of your goals for 2000? I mean, this year has been kind of oh my gosh. I call it a dumpster fire, but there's been some good things too, but it's been kind of a year that you're like, wow, like did not see this coming.
Yeah. And I know this is podcast. I wish you could like get a visual of me rolling my eyes with that question. Like this year has been
the
queen of different perspective. And it's like, okay, I'm trying real hard here, but yeah, this year, like I said, I was graduating from my master's. I was planning on going to Virginia to walk the stage and get my That didn't happen because of COVID. I had a full city for my show. I was going to be traveling with my show. That didn't happen. But within this year, I started my One Woman Ministries, which is WON, Women Ministries.
Okay.
So I started that. And because I had to sit down because of COVID, that's how that got started. You know, something else on the horizon. I'm already making plans to kind of expound on that a little bit and expound on the spiritual direction. Because I don't know what I had thought with the spiritual direction. You had to take on clients to practice. But I was like, well, I'll just practice. I didn't think I was going to be doing it. And, you know, God has shown me, no, you're pretty good. You need to be doing it. So, yeah. So it's like, I will start taking on, you know, clients as far as for spiritual direction. And after that, I just do not, my new thing is like, God, I'm just going to invite you into the situation. I don't have any plans. Like, I'm just inviting you to the situation to hear what you've got, because I am not going through this again. As far as canceling my plans.
Oh, man. So many canceled plans.
Yes, so many. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then my final question for you is, when did you decide that you were brave?
This is going to sound like a total butt-kissing answer, but signing up for your podcast, The Brave Podcast.
Oh, really?
Because it's like normally people with the title like a brave, oh, I'm not brave. And then when you ask me for the interview, I'm like, well, yeah, that sounds kind of neat. I think I will do that. So it's like, I think I have decided, yes, I am brave. Looking back on my journey and the questions that you asked have helped me to look back on the journey and, you know, put it into perspective. It's like, yeah, if you keep going, you keep getting up, you're pretty brave. You're pretty brave. Mm-hmm.
I love that. If you keep going, you keep getting up, you're brave. I like that a lot.
I like that too. Oh. Yeah, that was hot, fresh off the press. Okay.
I love that, Shonda. Thank you so much. This has been so awesome. And I'll get all your info so I can put it in the show notes so people can find you and find your one-woman show and connect with you if they have any more questions.
That is great. Thank you so much. I appreciate us finally connecting.
I know. Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm like, man, God, something is really intervening here. So this does not happen. I was like, what is going on? Yeah, so I'm glad we finally got to connect.
Yeah, me too. Stay in touch, though. Seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Make sure you let me know so I can, you know, blast it with my social media so people listen.
Yeah, I have to let you know, you said something earlier about singing. So I'm going through that right now. I've always just like singing just to sing. I've always just liked to worship. That's why I love to do worship. And someone overheard me at church and are like, you should try out for the worship team. I was like, absolutely not.
Wow.
Because no. I'm like you. I like to be in the background. Like even doing this podcast, I'm like, God, I am a background person. I like to hide. I do not like attention on me. Mm-hmm. No. And so the Lord's like, you should really consider doing the worship team. And so I kind of brushed it off and they were asking for volunteers. And I went to the sound area for volunteers since I've been doing podcasts. I'm going to help with audio, but it felt like there was this clawing in my stomach. Like, you are not supposed to be here. I was so uncomfortable. And as he's talking to me, the director of the sound thing, I could just, it kept increasing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in disobedience. I knew it. And so I pulled him aside and said, yeah, I can't do the sound. I think I'm supposed to be doing something else. And I went over to the worship section and it immediately stopped. And I was like, oh man, like, I guess I'm supposed to apply for our worship team. Oh man. So when you said that, I'm like, that is so funny. Cause I have been struggling with that. Like, cause I don't want to be on stage. I want to be able to sit in the crowd and worship on my own way. And God's like, no, I really want you to consider this. So.
Yeah. I totally feel you on that. Like I said, my husband, I ruined so many shirts. So many people were like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, why did I do this? Why did I do this? Like, why? I feel you on that. I mean, just look at God. Look at that.
Yeah. So this, funny. I'm like,
same story. Wow. Someone overheard you. Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you for
that with me.
No problem. All right, Shonda, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. My love, thank you. Great interview. Keep going, thanks. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Hey, guys, wasn't that such a fun interview? I related to Shonda so much as I was listening to her and listening to her wisdom. It just really spoke to me and kind of encouraged me with my walk with the Lord and how I can use the creative gifts that God gave me to glorify him and point others to him. And so any of you guys who are creatives out there, I think you too can definitely benefit from this. And I love how she talked about looking to God to find your authentic self and using that to basically glorify him in everything that you do. It was just such a fun interview, and I'm so glad I got to sit down and talk to her. And I will put all her info in the show notes so you guys can find her, find about her one-woman show. If you have any more questions about hearing the Lord and kind of finding spiritual direction, you can definitely email her on her website. She's wonderful, and we'll just keep in touch with her. All right, so next week's guest is my new friend, Alex Sanfilippo. And I think I said that correctly. Alex, I'm so sorry if I butchered your last name. He is the founder of Creating a Brand. He also started a blog called The Daily PS, where he basically spreads faith and encouragement through his blog and through his podcast, which he only does once a month, which I'm like, wow, what is it like to only record once a month? I couldn't imagine doing that. So yeah, he'll be on next week. All right. So my three asks. My first ask is to subscribe to the email list. You can jump on my website at www.apeachandcali.com. Put your email in the contact box and you'll be on the email list. That way you get the episodes a day early, you find out about any fun giveaways I'm doing, anything new coming out with the Brave Podcast, you'll get all that info through the email list. Second is ratings. If you love what you hear or there are things I need to work on, you can just give me a rating and it kind of helps people find the podcast and also helps me out knowing what you guys are loving or not loving.
And then finally, share. If you find something today that you loved in this episode, go ahead and share it with a friend. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Bye.